The following is a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department. This is the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a weekly presentation exploring community health and sustainability with guests representing a broad spectrum of community partners working to make Ulster County the healthiest in New York State. This program is sponsored by the Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network.
Good morning. You are listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. I am your host, Dr. Carol Smith, Commissioner of Health and Mental Health for Ulster County. With me this morning is my co-host, Vin Martello, our Director of Community Health Relations. Good morning, Vin.
Good morning, Dr. Smith. How are you?
Thank you.
Dr. Smith, today's topic is really interesting. It is about mobile mental health and urgent mental health care. And we have with us a very special guest and someone whom we've worked with, a fabulous colleague and partner. Her name is Trish Tuber. Trish began her career in 1986 as a music teacher in special education, and her passion for music has always been evident, but that is where she realized that she had a passion for helping people. So she went back to school to get her MA in Counseling and Human Services. After graduation, she was hired by Access Supports for Living and eventually became the director of the mobile mental health teams in Orange and Ulster counties. And now she has a new title, which is Acute Behavioral Health Services Regional Director. That's a lot to fit on a card, Trish.
Yes.
And she now oversees the new urgent care sites in Orange County, and she's going to tell us all about that. So welcome, Trish.
Welcome, Trish.
Thank you. It's so nice to be here.
Nice to have you. So, Trish, for those of our listeners who might not be familiar with the mobile mental health team, can you tell them a little bit about what it is and how it came into being and what it does?
Sure. So I think probably in 2014, Ulster County really wanted to address the need for people who were in acute distress in the community, and how would they be able to get access to mental health services besides going to a very expensive and sometimes not really enjoyable experience in an emergency room, because their emergency rooms are really there for, you know, acute medical distress, and sometimes coming in with a behavioral issue, it's a very different experience. Or a lot of times people were calling the police to respond to an emergency in the community, and the police, as great as they are, their job isn't really to provide mental health counseling in the community. So Dr. Smith saw the need, and with the county executive at the time, helped put together a proposal to get funding to fund the mobile mental health team. And I do remember being on this radio show, I think in 2015,
yes,
talking about the new mobile mental health team. At that time, I think we were funded to work 1 p.m. to 11 p.m. 7 days a week. And very quickly we realized that, you know, the need was greater than what we could provide. And I think you gained additional funding. We had a site originally in Kingston, and then we were able to expand to Ellenville with an additional site. Mm-hmm. Now, if there's one thing that we all know how to do in this field is we keep lots and lots of stats. So we kept
And you do it very well.
Oh, thank you very much. We try. So we kept all these stats on when people were really using the service, when most of our calls came in. And after about a year and a half, I think, we really reviewed that statistical data. And we realized that working from 1 p.m. to 11 p.m. might not really meet the need of the community. I think at that time it was less than 2% of the calls were coming in after 9 p.m. So we made the decision to adjust the time frames to start earlier in the day, because almost 50% of all the calls came in at 1 o'clock, right around that one time. So people were waiting for us to open. So we made the decision to change the time to 10 a.m. Mm-hmm. And at that time, we also got some additional funding from Aileen Gunther's office, mm-hmm, to expand 2 hours in each site. Now that, unfortunately, was limited funding. It would last about 2 years, but we decided to make best use of that money that we could at the time. Mm-hmm. So we were funded 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. And what we noticed was that really increased the usage in the morning. A lot of schools were calling us to come and help address behaviors of students. We were able to do coordination with families around children's behavior. We were putting great safety plans in place with students who, you know, let's say it was a Friday, we were able to safety plan through till Monday. We were also still seeing people in the community as adults in the evenings, because we were able to stay open till 10. Now, unfortunately, you know, that funding we knew was time limited and it ended, but it was such a value to have the service run from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. that we decided we were going to continue to cover those 12 hours every day. And now we have one team working from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and the other team working from noon until 10 p.m. We used to have an 8-hour overlap. Now we have a 6-hour overlap. It's changed some of our availability in the early evening, but, you know, we're trying to do the best we can with what we have.
Mm-hmm. And when you talk about a team, Trish, what are you talking about? Who actually takes the calls, responds to the call to the home or school? Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, we at Access are so proud of the team that we've put together here for the Ulster County Mobile Mental Health Team. So the team, there's two people that sit in each office. There's two people in Kingston and there's two people in Ellenville. One person is a licensed clinician and the other person is a practitioner with a minimum requirement of a bachelor's level. And they have to have some lived experience. Now, at Access, we really value people with lived experience or shared experience. It adds a richness to the work and sometimes a depth of understanding that you just can't get any other way. So we actually, when we're doing our interviews, we encourage everyone, if they would like to share with us their lived or shared experience, what brought them to this field, what their connection is. We think that's a really important question and we really value people's responses. Mm-hmm. So we have a very rich team and a very diverse, experienced team. So we have our licensed clinician and our practitioner. Now, the people who work for us in Ulster County have a variety of experiences. We have CASACs. We have people with over 30 years of experience. We have licensed social workers. We have licensed mental health counselors. We have people who have creative arts backgrounds. We have a psychiatric nurse on the team who has retired and works for us now to kind of help keep this thing going. We have students who are getting their master's degree, who are getting taught all the latest things in the field, and they bring it to our team. We have people who specialized working with children and families. We've had people who've retired from the school systems, so they really understand that piece. We have people who have worked in the peer community for over 20 years. So we have a really nice variety of people that can speak to many different circumstances and many different clinical presentations. So it's a very rich and very seasoned team.
And the team actually will go out. They will take the call, and then if need be, they will actually go to the site where the individual who has the need or they're decompensating from a behavioral standpoint to assist with that particular intervention, correct?
Absolutely. The first name in our title is Mobile. So we always say what makes us different is we can go out into the field and see people in their home or in the environment or in the parking lot of Walgreens. We've gone everywhere. As long as we know that person is going to be there, we can go meet them where they are. Basically, the way it works is if you or a family member or a neighbor or a professional has a concern about someone, call us. If you're not sure if this should be a mobile mental health call, call us. We'll talk with you about it. We'll figure it out together. One of the things that I really am proud of with my team is that we have a no wrong door approach. So if you call us for help and you don't know if you're calling the right number, we will help you figure that out. The joke when we first started is if somebody calls us for the number for the local pizzeria, we will get them that number.
But no delivery.
But then, yeah, we don't deliver pizza. We'll get them that number, but then we're going to ask like why they chose to call the mobile mental health team for that number, because there might be something else going on. But we want to be welcoming and we want to be responsive and we want to be helpful, because sometimes people call us in crisis, they don't know what they need, and we want to be able to help everyone figure that out.
And just through that kind of an intervention and the ability to help someone find out, you know, what it is that they do need, that many times you've been able to help that person avoid going to the emergency room and perhaps an admission for a behavioral health crisis.
Yes, my team actually does a really good job with that. I brought some stats with me today. So I have the stats from the year 2018, last year, the full calendar year. And looking at it real quickly, it looks like we served 2,020 people for the entire year. Out of those 2,020 interactions we had with individuals, on 55 occasions, we couldn't plan for safety and we had to send the person to the emergency room where they agreed to go under our clinical direction.
That's
so
huge.
That's 55 people out of over 2,000 calls.
Wow.
So I think we do a really
job
in trying to keep people from going to the hospital, and I'm very proud to be a part of this team.
Yeah, it's really great work, and we want to find out even more details about this. But first, we're going to take a short break. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. We'll be back after these words.
I love the way that picture looks. Can you move it to the left just a bit? Careful on the ladder.
Really? You know I'm always careful. Let me move it just a little bit more. Uh-oh!
Let's face it, accidents happen. When life takes an unexpected turn, you want your family treated at a full-service emergency room, where you'll find physicians who are board-certified in emergency medicine.
Let's get in the car. We're going to the ER.
Oh, but we'll be waiting for hours.
Introducing the 30 minutes or less ER pledge, only at Mid-Hudson Regional Hospital in Poughkeepsie and Health Alliance Hospital in Kingston, members of the WMC Health Network. When you arrive in either of these emergency rooms, you'll be seen by a member of the care team within 30 minutes. Expert trusted emergency care without the wait. To read the 30 minutes or less ER pledge, visit wmchealth.org/ER30.
Well, that was painless.
Hey, I'm the one with the stitches.
No, I was talking about the wait.
Another way the WMC Health Network is advancing care here.
Let me ask you a question. When you think of the American Legion, what comes to mind? Is it the way we fight daily for our veterans to get them the benefits they've earned through their service?
I work hard every day to make sure that our veterans get the benefits they deserve. I am the American Legion.
For nearly 100 years, the American Legion has been our nation's leading advocate for veterans and their families.
I am the American Legion.
This is today's American Legion.
To learn more, visit legion.org.
We're here early before they wake up. We stay late. We stay informed. We invest in the latest technology.
We take the time to train the next generation of doctors and nurses. We work together to make sure we heal their bodies and their minds.
We do this not because it's our job, but because this is about our veterans' lives. This is our mission. More than 300,000 of us working as one. Together with families and loved ones. No matter where they live in this country, we'll be there.
We all come together and stand together to serve our veterans. We stand strong, united. Stand with us in caring for our veterans.
Welcome back. You are listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Our special guest today is Trish Tuber, who's the Regional Director for Acute Behavioral Health Services for Access Supports for Living. And before the break, we were talking to Trish about the wonderful work that Access and her team is doing to provide mobile mental health team services in Ulster County.
And Trish, you were talking about the concept of a safety plan that you create with some clients that you visit. Can you talk about that and what its purpose is, how that works?
Sure. A lot of times when people are in crisis, it feels like extremes. People will get very upset or agitated by something that's happening in the moment or a series of events that happened in the moment. And sometimes people can feel very overwhelmed. And in those instances, it's not unusual for people to think about suicide or wanting to harm themselves. And in a lot of instances, we get those calls. And when we do, we go out to the person and we talk with them. First of all, giving people an opportunity to just simply tell their story can really de-escalate a lot of situations. Sometimes just being heard and having their feelings validated can really help people feel more regulated. If someone is clinically depressed or not doing well, and they are in treatment and they're taking their medications, but they're having a rough moment, we'll put together a safety plan We'll work with the person and any family member that is there, or any friend, or anyone that the individual wants to have involved. We'll sit and we'll talk with everyone, and we'll plan for this person to make sure that they can be safe. Because one of the most traumatic things is to completely disrupt somebody's life and send them to the hospital. Quite often, the reason why somebody's feeling overwhelmed before they go to the hospital, those situations just get worse if people are in the hospital for a week.
In a strange environment.
In a strange environment around other people who are also in terrible crisis. And then they come back to their homes or their apartments and they find that their money troubles got worse, or the relationship issues are still there. But not only that, the food in the refrigerator is now rotted and the dishes in the sink weren't washed, and people have stress over who's going to care for their plants or their pets and those types of things. And a lot of times it just adds a lot of undue stress. If there's a way that we can plan to keep people safe in the community, that is the best option. Sometimes that's not always possible, but when it is, it can really make a difference for people and their families. So when we talk about a safety plan, we talk about if the person is thinking of killing themselves or doing harm to themselves, we ask them specifically what they are thinking about. We try to remove temptation or triggers. If someone's thinking about overdosing on their medications, if they have a family friend or a family member there who can hold their medications for them, that would be a good option. If somebody is thought about maybe killing themselves using a weapon, we can have the police remove firearms. We can have family members remove, you know, knives or things along those lines. We prefer to have the police involved if it's a serious weapon. But in those instances, we plan for safety as well. And what we do is we follow up. So if, Vin, you were having a rough day and we came out to meet with you at 6 p.m.,
at 5:05.
At 5:05 after the clocked out, and there we go. We're going to meet with Vin. And then we go to your house and we talk and we decide that we're going to work really hard to keep you at home. And your wife is there. And so we talk with her and we come up with this great safety plan and we want to make sure it's working well. So we leave your house, let's say at about 6:30, and we make a plan that we're going to call you at 7:30 just to see how you're feeling. So maybe we go back to the office, maybe we go on to meet with somebody else, but around 7:30, if we're in the car, we have cell phones. If we're at the office, we'll call you from that phone and we'll say, hey, Vin, how are you feeling now? How are you feeling about the safety plan we put in place? Then if you say, well, I'm a little bit nervous, we'll ask why, we'll talk it through. If we need to come back out at 7:30, 7:45, we can do that. We can come out and see you as much as possible. We can call you as often as possible just to make sure that our plan is working.
And that follow-up is always critical, right? I mean, the same thing with, you know, with the opioid services or any services where, you know, and you hear this about some of these mass shooting incidents, too, where individuals had gone to some kind of treatment or program. They leave the program. They fall off of everyone's radar screen. There's no follow-up, and then bad things can happen.
Well, follow-up, you know, follow-up can be very tricky. Of course, everyone should follow up with people if they're in treatment and they're not showing up. But if somebody changes their phone number and moves, it's really hard to track them down.
Right.
You know, we do live in a world where we have a lot of protections under the law. I can't just find where you are and come knocking on your door if you don't want me to.
Right.
You know, we just have certain protections. And I also want to dispel a myth right now, since you brought it up, that the people who commit these mass shootings are mentally ill.
Right.
Because that's a correlation that has really been put out there for the public, and it's not necessarily true.
Right.
In fact, statistically, people with mental illness are, I think, somewhere around 50% more likely to be victims of a crime than to perpetrate a crime.
I knew that, but I was thinking specifically of the Sandy Hook situation where that young man was, you know, he had autism. He got expelled from school. He went to a few sessions with a counselor and then just kind of ended up in mom's basement playing violent video games and not really, and nobody really checking in on
and
him.
And mom was an enabler in many ways. She bought the weapons mm-hmm. and she allowed that to go on without intervention. Mm-hmm. And, mm-hmm. you know, so just leaving him in that situation really was a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, I mean, I just think in all cases, it's really great to have some kind of formal follow-through process, you know, to make sure. And the safety plan, is that something that's actually written out, or is it kind of like a verbal agreement among people, or how's that structured?
It really depends upon the individual that we're serving. Mm-hmm. Some people like things written out. We can certainly write things down and give mm-hmm. people a step-by-step, mm-hmm. you know, what to do if we have mm-hmm. written material that has our number on it that people can use as a reminder to call us. Mm-hmm. We certainly write things down for ourselves to remind us to follow up with people. So it really depends upon what's going to work best in the situation.
Mm-hmm. And with your team, you said you had different people with different skill sets and different specialties. So when someone calls, is it just who happens to be on at that time, or do you bring in so-called specialists as needed to deal with a particular circumstance?
It's funny that you ask that question. So we're funded to have, you know, four people on every day at mm-hmm. staggered times, and, mm-hmm. and we don't have funding to have everyone be able to be available all the time mm-hmm. if a call comes in under their specialty. But we really have such a great team and a bunch of really committed people to the work. So, you know, over the years, people have formed really tight relationships. So it is not unusual if we have somebody who is a DSS specialist, because that's where they work, to take a call after hours and say, hey, this is what was presented. You know, they're worried about like CPS. What would be the process? How does this happen? And people take calls after hours.
That's great.
We also, you know, what we often say is when you take a call, you're not alone. You're sitting in office with someone else. So if that caller calls and you're not sure what to do, or you're not sure about the resources, you have somebody sitting next to you that you can bring in on the call. And if the two of those people together can't figure that out, we have two other people on the other side of the county who can also be brought in
and go on from there
and ask. And then we have a clinical team lead who's very experienced and has done a lot of work in different systems, particularly in housing homeless and mentally ill in New York City. So she has a lot of experience in dealing with challenging situations, and she's available after hours and during the day to help people make decisions. And then if need be, people can call me. I always answer my phone, and then we go up the chain from that. We're very committed to the services we provide. Mm-hmm. We know that we ask a lot of our mobile mental health team. They go out in the field by themselves, 10 o'clock at night, you know, up in Pine Hill, where it can be cold and dark and a little lonely. Mm-hmm. And we don't want our staff to feel like they're ever by themselves. So they can always call one of us, all the way up to our CEO.
That's great. So. And we know too, before the show, we were talking about an exciting new service that you offer in Orange County called Urgent Mental Health Care. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. So SAMHSA had put out a request for proposals for funding for what they call CCBHC. And for the sake of time, I'm not going to try to remember what that stands for. But we went and we put a proposal in and we were funded. What we chose to do is to restructure our clinic services so that under our Article 31 clinic, we offer urgent care services. What that means for your Ulster County listeners is anyone who's living in the southern Ulster area or close to Newburgh can come to our Newburgh urgent care site and get services. If you got released, discharged from the hospital and you have a prescription for 2 weeks, but your psychiatry appointment is in 6 weeks, you can come to us and we can do a bridge script for that. If you need to be connected to mental health services, you can come to us and we can do, you know, the screening and intake and connect you to the appropriate level of care. But I want to make sure that people know how to get there. So the address in Newburgh is 21 Grant Street. It's in the Kaplan Family Center building for Access Supports for Living. Our hours are Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., weekends and holidays, 9 to 5.
And Trish, what is the phone number to contact the Mobile Mental Health team?
The number for Ulster County Mobile Mental Health is 1-844-277-4820.
Well, Trish, thank you for all the great
Trish.
Work
it's
that you and your team
wonderful.
Does. It's really invaluable to our residents. We really appreciate it. That's all the time we have for today. It goes so fast. You're listening to Healthy Ulster Radio. Tune in next week for more great information that you can use to keep yourself, your family, and our community healthy and strong.
You've been listening to the Healthy Ulster Radio Show, a community affairs presentation from the Ulster County Health Department, sponsored by Health Alliance of the Hudson Valley in Kingston, a member of the WMC Health Network. Thanks for listening, and be sure to join us for another edition of the Healthy Ulster Radio Show next week.